Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520, blanketing 17 states and much of Canada. We have a great former elected official with us today who was honored by the Polish American Civic Affairs Committee a few months ago. Senator George Maziarz, a man of tremendous accomplishments, did so much for the greater Niagara County area. To tell you a little bit about him, he was born in 53. He was a Republican. From 95 to 2015, he represented the 62nd District in the New York State Senate, which included all of Niagara County, all of Orleans County, and the towns of Sweden and Ogden in Monroe County. He's a native of North Tonawanda, where he was educated in local schools, first at Ascension Academy and then North Tonawanda High School, graduating in 72. 4 years later, he earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in history from Niagara University. Very honored to have him on today. Let's first talk about state legislation today versus 10 years ago. I know you were a conservative Republican state senator, and you were in the majority, and now it's a very left-wing leaning body. So let's talk about how it's changed in the last 10 years, Senator George Maziarz.
Well, first of all, good morning, Brian. Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate this opportunity. You know, when you're out of office, you don't get many chances to talk to people again, you know, on such a wide-ranging audience here. But, time marches on, and the legislature is much different today than it was 10 years ago. And when I first went into the New York State Senate in 1995, there were 38 Republican senators out of 62 members. Today there are only 21, I believe. So they're in what we would call a deep minority. And the legislature has been taken over by extremely progressive left-wing liberals, primarily downstate, the Hudson Valley, Westchester County, Long Island, even, and of course, New York City. You know, we've seen every elected state official today is a liberal, progressive Democrat, and I fear that's probably going to continue for some time in New York. But you know, it takes away the balance I think that we had. You know, in the legislature, the Assembly, the House was always Democratic, the Senate was always Republican. You had that balance. You know, governors came and went, but today it's a lot different in New York, and I think we feel it. You know, we feel it in our tax rates. We feel it in our in the legislation that, you know, things like banning gas stoves and the crazy environmental issues that we face today.
Yeah, the terrible situation. It seems like we're really in a state of decline where when you were in elective office, and I think a Republican majority in the state Senate made sure we were poised for growth and development. Now, you were instrumental with the Niagara Falls Airport, which has really improved in the last few decades. It's grown substantially. It's modern. It's up to date. Let's talk about what you did for the airport, what it was, and what it is today. Senator George Maziarz.
Well, thank you, Brian. Yes, you know, the Niagara Falls Airport, you know, obviously the major transportation airport is in Buffalo and Cheektowaga, and that's as it should be. But the Niagara Falls Airport was basically a garage, you know, and myself, you know, with a few other people, you know, we got the NFTA to pay attention to Niagara County to construct a new airport there with modern facilities, great facilities. You have two airlines flying out of there today, Allegiant, on a daily basis. And if you drive by the airport, Brian, I know your listeners, of course, are from, you know, many different states in Canada, but if you drive by the airport today, you see the parking lot is full.
Right.
It's full today because there's so many Canadians flying down to Florida for the winter. And you know, the Allegiant Airlines serves probably, I think, almost 60% of their clientele are Canadians. But they're coming down here. They're spending money here in Western New York, you know, staying overnight, flying out, you know, from the airport. You know, it, and as I said, it has modern facilities. It's a it's a great, let's say, secondary airport to Buffalo Niagara Falls. You know, there's daily flights. Spirit is somewhat limited there, but they do fly out of there to you know, in their network.
Well, you've done a lot.
It was paid for. Mm-hmm. It was paid for primarily with funding from the casino that was established in Niagara Falls. It was not paid for with, let's say, a tax dollars. You know, either sales tax or property taxes or things like that. It was paid for primarily out of casino revenue.
Well, you did a wonderful job. You brought back the bacon. I think federally, years ago, we saw Henry Nowak, the congressman, bring a lot of money in quietly. And you did the same thing on the other side of the aisle as a Republican, bringing the dollars back to your district. Let's talk about your major accomplishments in the state Senate from 95 to 2014, Senator George Maziarz.
Thank you, Brian. You know, one of the things I've been thinking about lately, when you look at Western New York and you pick up the newspapers almost every day and you see, you know, stories about major manufacturing plants closing down. You know, and again, I know your audience is in multiple states and in all of Canada, but we had a Sumitomo rubber plant closed down here, you know, almost 1,400 good, really good paying jobs with benefits. We're shut down. You know, I drive by, I live, you know, in Lockport, New York, and I drive by the General Motors plant here that we have in Lockport. And you know, back in the early, the economic crash of 2008, General Motors and one of its subsidiaries, it was called Delphi at the time, they operated 29 manufacturing plants like that throughout the United States, 29 plants. And they were going to close 21 of those plants because of the economic crash and the changing automobile industries back in 2008, 2009. And, you know, the challenge that everyone in those communities faced was, you know, we wanted to be on the list of one of the eight that was going to stay open as opposed to one of the 21 that was going to close. And I remember, you know, just shoveling back and forth with Governor Pataki and the executives at then General Motors and Delphi, their subsidiary, and, you know, trying to convince them that the Lockport plant should stay open. And eventually what we did, you know, this was, I thought, a really positive thing. We convinced General Motors that we could supply them with cheap power from the Niagara Power Project. You know, it's right here in the town of Lewiston, produces more hydroelectricity, I think, than any other power plant east of the Mississippi River. And General Motors, you know, the manufacturing plant, uses a lot of power. And we were able to provide them with an additional 16 megawatts of hydropower, you know, as they needed it. And that cheap hydropower, which is, you know, probably less than 2 cents a kilowatt at the time, was the convincing factor that made them or convinced them to keep that plant in Lockport open. Now, today, that plant in Lockport employs about 1,300 General Motors workers. They're paid a very good salary. They are paid very good benefits. You know, they just had a profit-sharing distribution, and I think the average profit-sharing distribution that they received, this is on top of their salaries now, it's called a profit-sharing bonus, was between $10,000 and $14,000.
Right.
And, you know, these are blue-collar workers. These are, you know, everyday people that you see in the supermarket. You know, it's a real positive for this area. I couldn't imagine what their place would be if it closed down today. You know, it'd be falling down, rusting. And, you know, today it's open. And it's primarily open because of the work that I did, you know, with George Pataki, with Governor Pataki. You know, there's no sign that says that. There's no flag out there that says that.
No.
You know? But I remember it. I remember the negotiations, you know. And, you know, I met a young man the other day in a store. I asked him what he was doing now. I knew him, you know, when he was a little boy. He's probably in his mid-20s today. And he said, oh, I'm working over at the General Motors plant, you know. And I thought to myself, my God, when we were in those negotiations, he wasn't even born yet. But here he is. He's working. He's getting married. He's going to build a house. You know, he's got the financial resources to be able to do that.
Well, Senator George Mazyars did so much for West New York. That's why the Polish American Civic Affairs Committee honored him as the outstanding Republican, and Henry Mazurek, former Democrat county legislator. They had 100 people for the event a few months ago, and they were both very gracious. They boosted each other. They rose above politics for the good of the community, the way Senator George Mazyars did, and he just mentioned about the 1,300 jobs saved at General Motors in Lockport. And you don't see plaques, you don't see awards, but you see hundreds of millions of dollars in economic activity over decades because of George Mazyars. I've been on the board of the Challenger Learning Center. He deserves a plaque for that. He brought $250,000 to teach young people about space travel. And really a wonderful elected official who gave back so much to his community. If you're
The Challenger Centers are great, you know, particularly today with what happened yesterday, you know,
Crashed
under the astronauts. It's just amazing. You know, but that's where education's going. You know, that's what young people have to know about and learn about, you know.
Well, he never received any tributes for it, but he's very deserving, a quiet, soft-spoken man who delivered to Western New York. So we're proud to have former Senator George D. Mazyars on the Rusk Report today. If you're listening in Lockport or Montreal or Washington, D.C., to our 50,000 watts blanketing 17 states and much of Canada, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, The Bet, AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And George Mazyars is proud of his Polish heritage. We'll talk about that later. And a little plug here. And this newspaper has plugged Senator Mazyars dozens of times in recent years. The Ampol Eagle. The Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Eagle newspaper has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Eagle. The Ampol Eagle is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454. To have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. Thank you to those who called regarding our recent guest, a famous author on the New York Times bestseller list dozens of times, Lawrence Lehmer, Dr. Michael Genestre, superintendent of the Sweet Home Schools, and Thomas Sibick, who was one of the protesters with the January 6th protest in New York City. Coming up, we'll have Mike Bellani on this program and insurance executive Mo Nalon. A little bit more information about Senator George Maziarz. He was appointed city clerk in his hometown of North Tonawanda in 78 at the age of 25, and he became Niagara County, New York clerk in 89. 6 years later, State Senator John Daly resigned his seat to become commissioner of the New York State Department of Transportation, and Senator Maziarz entered the state Senate after winning a special election. I was talking a little bit about your Polish roots. You gave a beautiful speech with your wife present with the Polish American Civic Affairs Committee. Why are your Polish roots so important to you, Senator Maziarz?
Well, I think, Brian, you know, back when both you and I were young people, you know, growing up, you know, in those days, you know, we had big families. I had seven brothers and one sister with nine children in our family. Both my mother and father, of course, had to work to feed nine kids. You know, so our grandmother, you know, who spoke only Polish, would babysit us every day, you know. You know, and we would go to the local Polish Catholic Church, Our Lady of Częstochowa in North Tonawanda. You know, and those were the values they had. I mean, there wasn't things like you know, that they have today, which are good. You know, I mean, childcare, things like that. You know, professional childcare and professional child development—it's a positive thing. You know, and all the safety equipment that you have today for children and cars and so forth. You know, we didn't have that. You know, I mean, we didn't go on vacations. We just played in our backyard, played in the field. You know, played pick up baseball. You know, in the field every day in the summertime. You know, we didn't. We didn't have that. We used to sit on my, used to climb up on the top of my grandmother's garage and watch the Buffalo Bolt plant in North Tonawanda, the switching plant. You know, and those are the things you did. You played with kids in the neighborhood. You know, you didn't have the same concerns that you have today about raising children. And I don't know. You know, I mean, I think we all turned out pretty good. You know, and. You know, that just was all about family back then, you know, and it was big families, you know. People that lived next door to us, we had nine children, they had 13. You know, we didn't need a daycare center. We had our own daycare center. But that's what it was like, you know, growing up. I mean, you had good family values, solid stock. And I don't mean that as a criticism of parenting today or education today or what kids do today, but... you know, I know travel. When we were kids, you know, one day a year, my dad would take off work and we would, my dad was a janitor at a local hospital. My mom worked in a factory cafeteria. We would take a day off and he'd pile us all into a station wagon and we would go to Crystal Beach in Ontario. And that was our one vacation. Today, you know, my grandkids, they fly to Florida, they go skiing in Vermont, they, you know, just, you know, it's just so much different today. And maybe better, too, you know, maybe better.
Let's talk about your highlights as a state senator. Again, 20 years in the state Senate, you're a quiet, effective, strong leader, and you mentioned George Bataki. I was very fortunate. I had dinner with him last Monday in New York City. I worked for him for 12 years, a wonderful boss, wonderful man. Let's talk about your highlights, 20 years in the state Senate, Senator George Maziarz. What was special?
You know, I think, you know, certainly we had a great leader in Senator Joe Bruno, the late Senator Joe Bruno. He was a great leader. He knew how to get things done in Albany. He was a pro-business guy. He knew that New York State had to be good for business. I'll tell you, Brian, I think, you know, when I look back on it, you know, you think about things that we did, you know, locally, like I mentioned about the General Motors plant. You know, I think now this in 1997, you know, casinos were coming to the Niagara Falls, Ontario side of the border. And, you know, I remember going to George Pataki and telling the governor, because, you know, at the time he was talking about legalizing casinos through Native American nations in New York State. And, you know, they were talking about the Catskills, and they were talking about, you know, maybe, you know, reviving the Catskills through casinos. I remember going to George Pataki and saying to him, Governor, those casinos are going to open in Niagara Falls, Ontario. that is going to, you know, the tourism imbalance is already great as it is. Niagara Falls, Ontario, with all the attractions that they have over there on the Canadian side, excuse me, you know, we have to do something on the American side. And I think it shifted his focus from doing something in the Catskill region to doing something here in Western New York and Niagara Falls. And really the first operating full-blown table game casino, you know, was opened in Niagara Falls, New York. And there was a clause within that contract that the local cities and the state, of course, receive a portion of the slot machine revenue. Now, I have to tell you that I think the way that that money's been used over the last, almost 30 years or 25 years has not been very positive. You look at Niagara Falls today, and Niagara Falls, New York, I'm talking about,
right,
and the level of poverty and things really hasn't made much of a difference. But, you know, that's not the decision of the state lawmakers. That's the decision of how the local people are spending it. But, you know, I think that if that casino wasn't there, again, there's probably over 1,000 people working there. And remember, that was the first. That was back in 2003, I believe it opened up. That was the first here in New York. Today, and I think probably on the negative side of the ledger, is there just such a proliferation of gaming in New York State that the element of people, let's say, going to Niagara Falls to go to the casino is really been taken away, because you have casinos all across the state now. You have gaming all across the state. You can pick up your phone, I guess, now. And I'm not a gambler, but I think you can make bets right on your phone. You know, so that really has hurt the industry. The industry is kind of eating away at itself, you know, and with a lot of help from the New York State Legislature and New York State government, because they've just it's not a destination anymore to go somewhere to gaming, like to go, you know, I guess Las Vegas is probably still a destination, but that's about it. You know, Atlantic City isn't anymore. These local casinos aren't anymore because there's just such a proliferation of them. So that's one thing, you know, on the local level, I think, you know, but I think it's been a positive for the city of Niagara Falls. You know, the money that we spent on transportation, I think, you know, Route 62 and Niagara, they're still doing it today, which is money we allocated, you know, way back when. But, you know, on a more statewide, global level, you know, working with George Pataki on things, you know, improving the New York State canal system was important for my district, you know, from Tonawanda all the way to the city of Rochester. You know, the canal system was important. You know, I believe, you know, again, a statewide issue, there's a program called Child Health Plus, which basically provides health care for children in New York that can't afford it. You know, any child in the state of New York today that doesn't have health insurance, doesn't have health care, it's the fault of the parents, because there's a program out there called Child Health Plus that is available for every child in the state of New York under the age, I believe now it's under the age of 12 years old. You know, so you know, health care is important to children. You know, things like that. And then you have senior citizens, you have things like the EPIC program, you know, which helps senior citizens with the cost of pharmaceutical medication. Those are statewide issues that I was very involved in and that I'm very proud of today. You know, you see them today, you see them working today. You know, is there abuse in the system? Of course there is. I think there always will be. But, you know, again, you know, children are getting health care today because of George Pataki, Joe Bruno, and the Republican state Senate that led the way in that. So those are the things that I think about, you know, when I think about my career back then.
Well, George Mazars did so much for Western New York. He's an unsung hero. He deserves so many accolades. 20 years in the state Senate, bring back the bacon to his district. Senator George Mazars. A little more information about him. He served as president of the Chamber of Commerce of the Tonawandas, member of the Board of Directors of the United Way of the Tonawandas, member of the Corporate Advisory Board of DeGraff Memorial Hospital, chairman of the popular Canal Festival of the Tonawandas. An unsung hero in Western New York, Senator George Mazars. Let's go back in the earlier part of your career when you were a director of the General Pulaski Association with the big parades and Cheektowaga.
You're really going back.
Yeah, but you were Niagara County Clerk, and let's look back at that part of your career. What was significant in your role as a very young, you know, Niagara County Clerk?
I'll tell you, Brian, I got elected County Clerk because Now, mind you, this was in the late 1980s, so this was before the age of computers being ubiquitous and cell phones and everything else, and people would have to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles just about every year to renew their car registration or their driver's license, maybe every 2 years, and there'd be long lines at the DMV. And I remember going there one time and thinking, the line was out the door, and these DMVs close at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's crazy for right. working people. You have to take a day off of work to go to the DMV. I mean, taking a day off of work for a couple hours off of work for somebody like my dad, meant, that his paycheck was going to be a little bit less that week.
Right.
So I ran with a platform plan of only one particular item. I said, if I'm elected county clerk in Niagara County, I was running against an incumbent, and I said, if I'm elected county clerk in Niagara County, I'm going to open up at least one DMV office in Niagara County. There were three offices. I'm going to open up one until 7 o'clock in the evening so that Great. Working people can come to the DMV. I just hammered that home. Every piece of mail I sent out, every radio ad that I took out, every speech that I gave, every group that I spoke to, I talked about opening up the DMV. My opponent, on the other hand, was a fairly nice guy. He said, "Oh no, you don't need to open up the DMVs late. People can get there. They can do it by mail. They can do whatever. But if you have questions, you can't ask the mailbox. Do I have the right forms? People would send it in. You didn't have the right. Remember, this is all paperwork. They're not computers. You didn't have the right form. They'd send it back." So my singular platform was, I'm going to open up the DMVs, and I won with maybe 51% of the vote, but I won. And the first thing we did, I took office in January, and in late February of that year, we started opening up one DMV office till 7 o'clock, 3 days a week in Niagara County. I think the one in Lockport was open on Tuesday, the one in North Tonawanda on Wednesday, the one in Niagara Falls on Thursday, and it turned out to be a great hit. We actually had car dealers from Erie County, from Orleans County, coming over to our DMV to do, because that's what car dealers had to go to the DMV to get their stuff. They can do it obviously right in their own shop. They do project. Everyone can do it on the computer today, but not back then. And that was the one thing. I remember I tell that to young candidates today that run for office. I said, pick out something in government that people are angry about, that's not serving people the way it should be. People around here pay pretty high property tax. They shouldn't have to wait in line to go to, to go to a government office to get services. Pick one thing out. And that's what started my career. That was my first elective office as Niagara County clerk. And, that was a prelude to getting elected to the New York State Senate.
Well, I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We've learned so much of the brilliant career of Senator George Mazyars. 20 years in the state Senate, he really brought home the bacon to his district, a very quiet, effective, hard worker for the residents in his district. Any thoughts or comments, please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14. 26. And again, we're very proud in the Polish community of Senator George Mazyars of Polish descent, and we salute his brilliant career. Thank you for enlightening us, Senator George Mazyars.
Thank you.
And special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the past two decades. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.